Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in the first epistle of Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the fourth verse. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious, you also, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, in order to bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will certainly not be put to shame. Therefore, for you who believe, this is an honor. For those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone over which they stumble, and a rock over which they fall. Because they continue to disobey the word, they stumble over it, and that is the consequence appointed for them. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, what is a cornerstone? I know when we built the new church in Christie, Wisconsin, that cornerstone, right in that corner area, they opened it and put in some treasures. Things that pertain to that day, so that maybe way down the road, they can open it up again and find out what happened a long time ago. But that wasn't the real reason for the cornerstone. It's usually a block, usually in the corner of a foundation, which gives that foundation strength. Or another definition depicts it as something of fundamental importance. In other words, if it's there and it's put in correctly, that means that structure will probably stand for a long time. Well, the Lord called himself the chief cornerstone. He is the cornerstone of the Holy Christian Church, of which we are members. So as we look at Peter's words this morning, we see Christ is our cornerstone. Because he is, it's on him alone that we build. A cornerstone, powerful, strong, that will cause something to last. Of that cornerstone, God, we're told, but chosen by God and precious. Chosen by God. The cornerstone was not built upon someone else. I know we're called Lutherans, and some people want us to believe that we think that Luther is our cornerstone. He's not. Jesus is our cornerstone. God demanded that when he sent Jesus into the world to save sinners. He said, "Now those who believe on you will be saved. You are the cornerstone of their faith. You are the cornerstone of that church. I have chosen you to do that." We, of course, know Jesus fulfilled that perfectly. He also says, and precious. When did God appear, or the Father appear to Jesus? We think of his baptism. "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." We're told also that his Father took care of him when he was in the grave and raised him from the dead because he was satisfied with what Jesus had done. Yes, Jesus, the Son of God, was indeed precious to his Father. First of all, because of who he is, but especially because of what he would accomplish for you and for me. The living stone. That was quite a conundrum at Easter time, wasn't it? Good Friday, Jesus died, laid in a tomb. Easter Sunday, the tomb is empty. What happened? The angels say, he's alive, he is risen. Shortly, we'll be celebrating Ascension, when the Lord ascended on high back to heaven where he came from, assuming again all of his heavenly powers. Yes, Jesus is alive even today. Alive and working for us. And so we're told, for it says in Scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will certainly not be put to shame. Peter said to his listeners, to us, we have that cornerstone. Believe it. Believe that he is your strength. Believe that he is your foundation. Believe that the church is founded upon him. The true church is founded on him. Believe that every day of your life, and you'll see the result of that faith when you go in to live with him in the home that he is now preparing for us. He's also man's cornerstone. Or what is man's cornerstone? I'll put it that way. What is man's cornerstone today? First of all, it says rejected by men. So what does mankind, sinful mankind, believe about Jesus? Not too much. They don't want to believe that he is the only way to heaven, because if that's the case, then their good works do mean nothing. And they want to brag about all the things that they have done. They don't want to believe that he overcame the grave, that he came out of that grave alive, he overcame death, because that's not possible. So they refuse to accept that. They refuse to believe that he ascended on high, because that doesn't happen. And so they don't believe. In fact, Jesus becomes for them a stumbling block and a stone over which they stumble and a rock over which they fall. When Jesus is placed before sinful mankind, that means the unbelievers, he becomes a stumbling block. Because what he says does not jive with what they say. He does not say, your works will gain you heaven. He does not say that everybody will be in heaven like some people want to believe. He does not say that death is the end for everybody, there is no afterlife. He says just the opposite. And for the sinful human beings who don't believe in him, they say it can't be true. And it becomes a stumbling block. It confuses them. And finally, as our text says, they stumble over it, and that is the consequence appointed for them. Eternal consequences. Not pretty. Consequences which lead not to heaven, which they so gloriously talk about how they're going to gain it, but they're not going to be there. God says, you believe on that cornerstone, you base your faith on him, heaven will be your home. If you don't, you pay the consequences of eternal torment in hell. That is the place for those, reserved for those who do not trust in that chief cornerstone, who is Jesus. But what about us? It says we are also living stones. You also, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood in order to bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are living stones. I worked for a mason for a couple summers. We did put a cornerstone down, but then we didn't stop there. Then all the other stones were laid on top of it, alongside of it, and before long, the foundation for the house was built. And then we turned it over to the carpenters, and they built the rest of the building. Well, Jesus is the cornerstone of the Christian church, but we are the stones. We are the other blocks that are there. And we're the stones so that we can proclaim to the world who our chief cornerstone is. And what happens when we proclaim this to the world? When we tell others about Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and what he continues to do for us? When we honor him, we talk good things about him, when we live lives that are pleasing to him, we are honoring him. We are being fit stones upon that cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Since Christ is our cornerstone, for him above, now in heaven, we serve him. What names Peter gives us. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession. What titles? Chosen by God, not because of anything you have done, but already before the world was created, he chose each one of us to be members of his family and heirs of eternal life. He didn't look ahead and say, oh yeah, this guy is going to be tremendously good, so I'm going to choose him. No. He didn't look at anything we did or would do. He chose us because he loves us. And because he chose us, we know that therefore we will remain children of God, a royal priesthood. What did the Old Testament high priest do? He served God. He offered the sacrifices. He interceded for the people. Whenever they wanted something from God or advice from God, they would go to the high priest. He would then pray. And usually through the Urim and Thummim, and we don't know really what those things are, he would find out God's answers and would tell them. Well, we are also priests, in that we proclaim God's word, that we believe that his sacrifice is complete, and that we share that message of the gospel with other people. A holy nation. That's what Israel claimed. And they were a holy nation when God chose Abraham to be the father of his people. When they left Egypt, they were a holy nation set aside to God. God took care of them. But we today are also a holy nation. Holy, not because of anything we do, but holy because of what Christ has done, that he has made us his people, that we are now brothers and sisters of the Lord, children of God and heirs of life. We are set apart in this world. And people are watching you, aren't they? Do you live as Christians? How do you react to problems? They're watching. When you show that you trust the Lord, that he will take care of you, that makes an impression. And you do that because you are a holy nation, special to God, and you want to continue to be special in everything you say, think, and do. And then he also says, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Darkness. That's what you were born into. No knowledge of God. No knowledge of the way to heaven. Born to serve not God, but to serve the devil. Not born to see the light of the gospel. Not born to see the light of eternal life, but born in darkness to serve the devil. That's what each one of us was when we were born. But now, he says, now you're in light. What did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. I show you the path to heaven, a path you cannot figure out on your own. But I have that path. I'll show you how to get there. He told to Philip, you know the way. Just believe. I have cleared your path.